This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
First night of the Republican National Convention, and Donald Trump is officially the Republican nominee for re-election as President of the United States. Great to have you with us. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Last night, the president was officially re-nominated by the Republicans, as these things go with the convention. Only one delegate opposed him, which says a lot, too. It says he's got, and I've been saying this, too, he's got the absolute support of the party and the absolute support of his base. And that's a testament to the work that Bill Stepien did early on during the process of ensuring there would not be a primary against President Trump and that the party would rally around him. Last night, the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, Ronna McDaniel, she officially announced that Trump is the official nominee of the party. Bill, can you play for us? Cut letter B.
The chair announces that Donald J. Trump, having received a majority of these votes, entitled to be cast at the convention, has been unanimously elected as the Republican Party nominee for President of the United States.
There you go. So now that he's officially the Republican nominee and the party is coalescing around him, I will turn to the president's very first campaign manager. And I don't think President Trump would be there today if it had not been for Corey Lewandowski in the earliest days. Corey, welcome back to the show. And how's life, my man? Did you stay up very, very late last night?
You know, Rich, I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun. I had the privilege to be with the president yesterday down in Charlotte, North Carolina. He made a surprise appearance for us delegates to spend a little time with him. He spoke to us for over an hour. The vice president showed up, and then we had a really exciting first night of our convention last night, listening to, you know, party leaders like Kim Scott, who don't get enough credit, and Donnie Jr., who gave a really impassioned speech about what it's like to be part of the first family and how they've treated his family. So I'll tell you, it was a very exciting day for me yesterday.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, Corey Lewandowski. I'm absolutely so different from 2016, right? When we were heading into the convention, wondering if there was going to be a floor fight to try to take away the nomination from Donald Trump. Now everybody's unanimously backing him.
Well, Rich, there are people in 2016 who are on the floor who are fighting us, who now work in the administration. So we have a lot more friends today than we did 4 years ago, I'll tell you that. But yesterday, it was a love fest. Everybody get up there. I had the privilege to represent the state of New Hampshire to do the roll call and give our 22 delegates to the president. Obviously for both he and the vice president, they were renominated by acclamation. 100% of the delegates all went to them. And we are looking forward to taking this fight directly to Sleepy Joe.
Now, Corey, what do you see as the big issue in this election in terms of is it the coronavirus? Is it the economy? Is it the crime in the streets? What advice are you giving the president in terms of message going forward?
Well, it's really two things, if you ask me. The first and foremost is obviously the impact of the coronavirus. And we've got two individuals who want to deal with this very separately. Joe Biden has said now publicly that he wants to close the government if the quote unquote experts say that. He will literally close the country, which means tens of millions of Americans will go out of work. Our kids will never get back into the schools. Businesses will collapse. Donald Trump has said, hey, let's have something called personal responsibility. Do me a favor and go wash your hands. Not that hard of a thing to do. If you're in a high-risk category, don't put yourself in a position where you might come into contact with someone if this could kill you, because it is a disease that is impacting people who are in that high-risk category. That's number one. So we have to deal with the coronavirus. Number two is this notion that the Democrats do not stand for the men and women on the thin blue line. Donald Trump talked about it yesterday. Mike Pence talked about it yesterday. We as a party and Donald Trump as a candidate will always stand with the men and women in blue. It's a sharp contrast to what the Democrats are doing. The Democrats are not only condoning but supporting the looting and marauding that has been going on up in the northwest part of our country for almost 90 days. We don't stand for it. We will never not support the men and women who wear that uniform. So those are the two big issues to me. It's the impact of the coronavirus and how we'd handle it, and obviously the support of the men and women in uniform. That is all wrapped around, of course, the economy, bringing the economy back to the record levels we had prior to the pandemic hitting us.
You know, Corey, you were obviously there in the earliest days when Trump was running against, 16 other people for the nomination, and there was so much bitterness and anger. And then, we were worried around election time if people would turn out. I was pleading with people, you got to vote for him for the judges if you don't like him. Just you got to do it. Now it's the exact opposite. I mean, the unity among the base, and I look at turnout this November, I think about that unity, that he has not lost the base. In fact, they're more determined now to elect him. There is no enthusiasm for Joe Biden. He doesn't even have a base.
You're so spot on this. Our enthusiasm numbers that are not public track very closely to what is public, which is if you're supporting Donald Trump, what's your likelihood of going to the ballot? It's like 99.92% because the one guy had to crawl over a piece of broken glass while he was chewing on barbed wire and decided he might just take a pause. But here's what they're going to try and do, Rich. What they're going to try and do is they're going to try and steal the election through this mail-in balloting process, which every person who's ever lived at an address, whether you're a person, a dead cat, a live dog, is going to get a ballot. And in the state of Pennsylvania, I was with Eric Trump a week ago Monday. He told me he has a friend who received six ballots to the exact same address. Six ballots for the same election. Now, two of them were spelling mistakes, but it doesn't matter. When you receive six ballots, if you're a dishonest person, you can fill all of them out and send them back. And I have zero, and I mean zero, faith in the people who work at some of these places to maintain the quality of an election that we deserve in this country. So I'm very concerned about that. So, look, our enthusiasm is through the roof. But they're going to try and steal this by what they call ballot harvesting, which is just sending a ballot to everybody who's ever lived at that address, whether alive or dead, and hope that maybe they're honest and send them back properly.
You know, Corey, I was thinking about that notion of this mail-in balloting. And I mean, I'm in Jersey, and I've seen this firsthand for years and years in my career. When I heard about Paterson, New Jersey, and they have to redo the election because of all the fraud that took place. I mean, that's just another day in Jersey politics, And yet other people around the country think this is some kind of conspiracy that we've conjured up out of thin air.
No, hey, Rich, that thing in Paterson, New Jersey is just called a Tuesday. Okay,
that's right, exactly.
That's just another day, man. Come on. I feel a little bit like Joe Biden saying, come on, man.
Come on, man. This is a standard election over there. Come on.
That's nothing new. But look, this is a serious problem. And what we're seeing is the states that have the least ability to actually do this properly are the ones who are pushing it the most. And the reason they're doing that is because they want to help Joe Biden. This is not even a hidden agenda. This is the agenda. So we have to go to court to fight this in every location because, to be fair, Rich, there are states like Florida who have what we call a permanent absentee ballot process, which means at some point in time you filled out a form, you signed it, you said, hey, I want to request this, and you can track that ballot in Florida from cradle to grave. From the time it leaves the clerk's office till it gets to your house, it's tracked via a barcode. You can see exactly where it is. They have a signature verification and validation process, and then you can see when it goes back into the county clerk system in Florida. It works perfectly. So we favor that. What we do not favor is just blanketly sending tens of millions of ballots out to people in the hopes that those people actually are still living there and those people are actually really the ones filling them out. It doesn't work that way. We are a better country than that.
Yeah, well said, Corey Lewandowski, President Trump's first campaign manager. And I know firsthand President would not be there today had it not been for Corey's excellent work very early on in those days when there were five, six people around. I'm happy to say I was one of them at some days here and there. And, Corey, to your point about how everybody suddenly now all these friends come out of thin air was a very different story in 2015 and 2016 when you were the campaign manager. So you did great work and people should never forget that. Come back and talk to us again, my friend, okay?
I will. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in today on all of these issues as we do our hour of nonstop talk. Chestnut Hill College, listen, you know, when it comes to the economy, these are some uncertain times, but it's also a great opportunity for you. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know what, I want to make a change in my career? Well, if you have, then I have no doubts you should look into Chestnut Hill College, because you can get an online master's degree in cybersecurity in 20 to 24 months. That's right. Their innovative online Master of Science in Cybersecurity. It's taught by experts who've worked in intelligence, law enforcement, private industry, and alongside some legendary white hat hackers. The best part is you don't have to have a background in computer science to enroll. No prerequisites are required. So enroll today. Get your master's degree in 20 months and a highly paid career for the rest of your life. Visit chc.edu, chc.edu, and you can sign up today. And I think you should always think about, what is the future going to bring? Is your career in a, what you would say, a real safe industry? Or are you in an industry that could easily hit the chopping block? What I will say about cybersecurity is you never have to worry. You never have to worry about that career becoming obsolete, because you will have a job and it's going to be a well-paying job, because we only need more cyber warriors, not less. 855-839-1210. 855-839. I'm sorry, that's our number. 855. That's our number. There, go to chc.edu is the number, chc.edu. And you can sign up today. Within 20, 24 months, you'll have your master's degree. Do it today. Chestnut Hill College.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
I'm juggling a million things here, as I often do after these kind of things. 855-839-1210. I'm very bummed that KFC has dropped their finger-licking good slogan because of coronavirus. So they don't want people licking their chicken anymore.
You can lick your own finger.
You could lick your own finger, but I think the old thing was that people would, apparently you'd walk into KFC and other people would lick your fingers. I didn't know that. But that was a thing they offered. It was like extra, you know what I mean?
Because they give you the little moist handy wipe things, just finger licking good, and then use the hand sanitizer thing.
I think that when they said finger licking good, they always meant lick your own fingers. Don't lick other people's fingers.
Right.
But I guess there's a lot of stupid people out there and they just assume that that's what they're supposed to do. Hey, I can't have any chicken myself. Can I lick your fingers?
Oh, gee.
So you can still lick the thighs, though, on the on that they say. You can still do that. Thighs and the breast of the chicken. What? The part, they come in different parts and pieces. What? Legs, if you're a leg man, you can. You know,
That's right.
Like legs. I do. I like legs. To me, they're juicier than the breast, you know? So when I get a bucket of chicken. That's what I mean. So what else is cooking today? We got, I know this, too. I found that... The amazing thing about the times in which we live, everybody is nuts today. Everybody's a little bit crazy. People's stress levels are up, and now they're saying they can recreate, they can build you a new liver. I guess they built a new liver for monkeys.
That's,
and they can do this
cool.
Now for humans, which is great, because I think we could all use a new liver after this. That's what I think anyway. I think we could all use a new liver. Mine is just feeling very, very old these days, very tired, you know? So...
Yeah, it's a rhesus monkey, right?
They always use the rhesus monkeys for all these things, you know? These poor little buggers, man,
cute,
I'm telling you, right?
Rhesus monkey.
Poor little rhesus monkey with his new liver. The other liver, he was a total alcoholic, that monkey, and it was like, it looked like a lava rock. It was so bad. It's true, you know? What else we got? I'll do a quick social media check-in here today. The Big Ragu 93, so let me get this straight. Dems demand an unarmed woman of color for vice president, even though they overwhelmingly rejected every person of color in the primary. Yet two prominent Republican elected officials of color speaking at the RNC elicit cries of tokenism. Hashtag Zeoli Army. Yeah, it's true. And don't forget, it was also Representative Jones, too. They also, they tried to ignore him because he's an elected Democrat and he was speaking. Let's see here now. Jimmy Matthews asks if RNC chaos is trending because accusations of drug use by Don Jr. No, I don't think it was drugs. I think it was Red Bull. He posted a picture of himself in a long and very gaudy American flag jacket, blazer, and he got a big Red Bull in his hands. I think the guy just had too much Red Bull.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been there. I've done that. I've had too much Red Bull. It's a thing, you know?
Yeah, maybe he and Kimberly were... You know, it was a long day, and they just chugged a bunch of Red Bull. That's what
it
seemed like.
Yeah, they just, you know, you're just chugging Red Bull. Next thing you know, see, I didn't say this with Lewandowski on the phone, but he used to walk around the campaign headquarters with a 16-ounce Red Bull.
Oof.
And he'd have it in his hands at all times throughout the day. He didn't drink coffee, just drank Red Bull or Rockstar or Monster Energy all day long, you know?
That's
so
not good.
Some people like to do that, but no, I think it's just sometimes it gets to you a little bit. Jay says, I know you believe you run scared or unopposed, but I'm surprised you aren't more excited about last night. Don't get me wrong, I don't want you to be a cheerleader, but you seem very reserved lately. I thought last night was a home run, thought it was upbeat and not dark. Okay, great. I never said it was dark. I asked the question, but I'm not a cheerleader. I love to analyze these things. It's one of the strengths I think I bring to talk radio because there are no shortage of cheerleaders or people that are going to be very, very excited when you turn on the radio. I try to give you a different approach to talk radio. But if you want, if you're looking for somebody to cheerlead, you'll have no shortage of people who will be out there doing so. I also think I've earned my ability to look at things as an analyst because unlike a lot of these other people on the radio who will be cheerleading today, back in 2016, I was not a Never Trumper. I was actually with him. So I don't need to come on the radio and be super enthusiastic and happy and giddy. I'll let them do that because they got a lot to make up for.
That's right.
Right?
I'll be your hype person.
There you go. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
They all got to make up for it because back then they were Ted Cruz people going, I'll never vote for Donald Trump.
That's right.
Okay. Now, they're the ones who are going to be the giddiest today, this whole week. And it's going to be a little sometimes unlistenable, in my opinion. But I'm just saying, you know, just saying. All right. That check-in on social media brought to you by Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter. Go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. And they open at 9 a.m. today. You can go by and see them. They always take great care of people. Thank you for their wonderful sponsorship. John is in Huntington Valley. John, good morning. And did you watch the convention last night?
Oh, I sure did. And it was really motivating. Kimberly was a little much, I think, but whatever. Anyway, you know,
well, I think if she had a big crowd, it'd be one thing. But, you know, when you're doing that just on camera, it's just a lot, you know?
Oh, I know. But what I was telling your screener was, you know, what's interesting is no matter what happens, I mean, you know, even if it's a legit election, you know, Trump can still sue. You know, he can put into the, you know, he can sue, you know, in every swing state. And what it will do is hold up the count of the Electoral College. And if it's not done by December 14th, you know, then there is no presidency. It goes to the House and there'll be the vote one person per state and we'll win 26-24. So no matter what happens, as long as he sues, even if he loses legitimately, he can still stay in office.
Well, that's, I mean, not exactly right. If there's no winner in the Electoral College, then yes, it would go to the House of Representatives. And yes, every state would get one vote. And you're right about that. I think he would win that. But that's only if there's no winner in the Electoral College. I mean, a lawsuit at some point, a judge is going to say that that's enough. You know what I mean? That's what happened with Bush v. Gore. So I disagree with you on that point. But I mean, look, he's the reason why you have election lawyers is to sue and to demand recounts and to do all those things you have to do to protect yourself. But the purpose of the House election would be if nobody gets a majority of the Electoral College. I can't imagine that scenario happening. I can't imagine that no one gets 270, you know?
Well, the other interesting part is there's a lot of people I'm in contact with, and we're a citizens group, and we are going to show up at certain polling places and stop people. And, if they don't have the proper ID to go in and vote, we're going to make citizens arrests.
Well, be careful doing that. You might get yourself into some trouble. I'm just saying, John, you may want to talk to somebody before you guys go ahead and do that. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Just looking out for you, man. 855-839-1210. Okay. So let's see here now. In addition to the convention last night, we're going to talk about Middle East peace because it's something that's not being discussed. I can't imagine why. And we'll talk to Jared Kushner about that. Some other other thoughts from yesterday, too. Let's see here. The vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, yesterday, she decided to label Republicans now. I mean, this is your moment of bipartisanship here. This is called reaching across the aisle. This is called being purple. This is called no labels. This is called let's be moderates. Let's be friends. Let's be bipartisan. Here is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, cut number two.
Trying to interfere in our election. But they're not the only ones. We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and wow, our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in the Congress of the United States. But again, let's just get out there and mobilize, organize. organize and not let the president deter anybody from voting. And again, support the postal system, which is election central. They're doing everything they can. Suppress the vote with your actions. Scare people, intimidate right. by saying law enforcement will be there. Diminish the role of the postal system in all of this. It's really actually shameful. Enemies of the state.
Enemies of the state. Republicans are enemies of the state. That is your moment of bipartisanship right there, brought to you by Nancy Pelosi. Your moment of civility, bringing people together. Look at that. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Did you watch the convention? Do you have any thoughts on the convention? I just, you know, for me personally, I think that this is going to be a good week. It's the president is going to be out there every night speaking, which is smart. I mean, a lot of other times they kind of wait back until they come out Thursday night. You heard Corey mention that the president was out there addressing people who were delegates yesterday. That's going to be the way he does it all week. He's going to come out and say hello almost every single night. I also thought that I had a caller earlier who mentioned that in addition, she didn't like Kimberly Guilfoyle, who was very fired up last night. I don't think it worked, given the fact that you weren't in front of a large crowd. And I would have said, you know, just talk right to the camera and just, you know, because you don't have people there to cheer. It doesn't work. But a very effective speech, I thought, last night was from a woman who is a cancer survivor named Natalie Harp. And she talked about the right to try. Now, I've talked a lot about the right to try and why you as a person should have the right to try experimental drug therapies, even if they're not approved yet by the FDA. You should have the right to try if they show progress. It's your life. It's your body. Should be your choice. Same thing with coronavirus. You know, I laugh at the people that say we should not have these experimental drug therapies. It's a novel virus. We don't have time to study it. We got to try to do something. So whether it's trying to put out drug combinations or convalescent plasma therapy, they're trying to fast track this stuff so we can beat this thing. And sometimes you don't have the luxury of time on your side. So she talked about that last night. I thought it was a very, very impactful speech. And she wore a beautiful red dress. I thought it came across very, very nicely on camera. I thought her words were very important as well. Cut number 7.
Now, with the coronavirus, everyone knows what that feels like, to be waiting for a cure. But we've only been waiting a few months. Just imagine what 2020 would have looked like, fighting for your life without Donald Trump fighting for it, too. In January, there would have been no China travel ban. Millions would have died. Millions more would have been infected. For there'd be no record levels of testing, no right to try treatments, no fast track for a vaccine, nor Operation Warp Speed ready to deliver it. And without Donald Trump as our patient advocate for the past 4 years, well, the opioid epidemic would have stolen even more lives from even more families.
Yeah, well, she's very, very right about that point. And I'm a big proponent of right to try. I always have been for years. It's been a very, very big libertarian issue, the idea that you have a right to try these experimental drug therapies. 855-839-1210. Locally yesterday, the Catholic Schools Association announced that they are not going to have fall sports. So Dawn's very bummed about that today, as you can imagine.
Boo. Oh, my mic was on.
People were asking if I was going to give you the pizza, but I just didn't respond because, you know, the fat lady hadn't sung yet, if you know what I mean. So,
well, here's the thing. So David is on a team that, because of thanks to PIAA and also AAU, so they're playing. So all these kids from Philadelphia schools, suburban schools, that's where they're going. And because there was already a scout from a top high school, I won't say which one, there was already at least one scout that I know of at their practice for high schools. So these kids, a lot of them from, you know, bad school districts in Philadelphia, worst in the nation schools, among the worst. So they want to be seen by, you know, how do you get seen? How do you get that major scholarship to high school and then on to college? It's a game. Right. It's a game changer in their lives. So I know I get fired up about it, and people think, oh, why do you, well, it's just sports. To a lot of people, it's not just sports. It's, you know, our kids' dreams.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that, you know, a lot of parents are feeling that frustration right now. And I'd be surprised if sports happens anywhere else at this point, because I keep seeing these, you know, these elected officials just wind up, they're just like on shutdown mode again. And I think you're going to have a lot of people very, very upset in the next couple of weeks if this continues.
Yes.
A lot of people.
And parents, so, here's the thing. I mean, we all know as parents, we love our kids. And for somebody to say, well, no, we're deciding for you, your child can't do this. It's like, do you not think I'm the bubble wrap mom? Are you kidding me? Like, I love my child. If there's anything I think he's in danger, I would never allow that. But we've got this. We can do it. We've got the materials, and for kids who can't afford it. Because keep in mind now, parents have to pay for this. And some of the, you know, to join like a Pop Warner team, it's like $200. For some families, it's a true hardship. But they feel like, hey, my kid is going to get seen. He's in the eighth grade. He's going to get seen by one of these scouts. He's going to get a full scholarship to a major high school that's nationally recognized. It's a game changer.
You realize I've technically won the bet, right?
No, because when I get a picture of David playing tackle football, boom.
What, like in a back alley somewhere?
No. These are actual games. Also, okay. Eagles, I see them at training camp.
Mm-hmm. Temple. So your son's playing for the Eagles now?
No. Well, that's his dream, obviously.
The bet was, would he be playing in high school sports, right?
No. He's only an eighth grader.
Right. Well, eighth grade sports.
Eighth grade.
Right.
So, he's playing on a team. It's, you know what the name of the team is? The Avengers.
Ha. Nice. I like
How's
it.
That?
And it's about as realistic as the Avengers, too. All right. Well, we'll see. I hope you win. I want to give you the pizza. I want to win. I want you to win. I do. I want to be wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong. So, you know, we're just going to have to see. We're warming up the oven, so to speak, as they say. All right.
Thank you.
Amstar Medical Transport is our sponsor of this hour of Nonstop Talk. Amstar is there, and they were going to take you or your loved ones to medical and other appointments. They are trusted, and I definitely recommend them. So Tony, along with his sister Marion and her husband Alan, they're the owners of Amstar Medical Transportation. They proudly provide excellent, compassionate service to older patients, those with mobility issues, and people facing other challenges. They operate safely, and their vehicles are incredibly clean. In fact, the entire staff is respectful. They're going to get you or your loved ones to medical appointments, non-emergency hospital procedures, or even family events. That's right. They're a door-through-door service provider. They ensure the patient is dressed for the weather. They help them out of the house, secure them safely in the vehicle, help them check into their appointment, and stay with them if needed. They're also experienced at transporting children with special needs. The best part, Amstar Medical Transportation features the best rates in the area. So book online at AmstarMedicalTransport.com. They offer discounts to veterans, first responders, and members of this show. You listen to the show, then they want you to let them know because they're going to give you a discount as well. Go to AmstarMedicalTransport.com. AmstarMedicalTransport.com. I trust them, and you can trust them too. Great friends of the show. Safe and reliable. Trustworthy transportation. AmstarMedicalTransport.com.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I'm very, very excited now to go to my very special guest this morning. It's not every day you get the senior advisor to the President of the United States of America on the program, but I'm very honored to welcome to Philadelphia Jared Kushner. Jared, good morning.
Hey, Rich, how are you? It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm glad we could finally make it work. You're an incredibly busy guy, of course, and you succeeding in negotiating Middle East peace is only one of the many things in your portfolio of accomplishments, so I'm really grateful that you made the time today, so thank you.
No, it's an honor to be with you. We've known each other for a long time, and it's great to be with you and your listeners today.
Jared, this is a big accomplishment in the Middle East. And, you know, I was frustrated last weekend. I watched you do another interview and they would not talk about it. And really it was frustrating to me. And I sent you a note. I said, please come on my show so we can talk about Middle East peace. This is a major historic achievement here. And for the first time in decades now, we're actually moving forward with what could be a peace plan that both sides agree with. Give us the overview of it, if you would.
Sure. So basically, this is indicative of a lot of the other topics we deal with, where everyone says things are impossible or Trump's doing the wrong thing to get it done. But, you know, President Trump came in and he took a totally different approach than all of the, quote, experts who basically got us into all these endless wars and spent our money and our lives of American soldiers overseas fighting for other people's countries. And basically, you know, President Trump took some unconventional moves in the Middle East, but he's made it a safer place. And obviously his moves were really validated with the first peace agreement in the last 26 years and only the third peace agreement in the last 70 years with Israel. So it was a great breakthrough. This peace agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates will allow, you know, Jews now to Israelis to go to to Dubai and to, you know, start integrating more, and you'll allow a lot of the Muslims from throughout the world to go to Israel and, you know, visit the mosque. And hopefully this will reduce the global tensions that we have. You know, America's great interest in the region used to be energy, but thanks to the energy revolution here in America, President Trump's been very pro-energy, pro-fracking, you know, clean energy. We're now energy independent as a country. So we're not as reliant on the Middle East, thanks to the president. So he's been trying to bring everyone in the region together around common objectives of having a better life, having security. He's trying to get them to move on from old conflicts. And that is allowing us to reduce the amount of troops that we have in the region. And also, the more that we have peace in the Middle East, the less excuses that the jihadists and the terrorists have to radicalize the youth and try to get them to create more instability and attack America.
Yeah, that's a great point. They lose that major talking point that they have, that major recruitment point that they have. In fact, this plan, despite what Fareed Zakaria suggested, it doesn't give away the store to Netanyahu. I mean, you know, this does a lot for both sides, including the fact that no one will be uprooted from their homes.
Look, you know, I came from a business background, and what I learned is, you know, nobody did a deal with you because they liked your tie. They did a deal with you because it was in their best interests. And, you know, President Trump was able to create in this situation a win-win scenario. It was a great win for the United Arab Emirates. It's a great win for Israel. They're both very sophisticated economies. They have great advancements in artificial intelligence, technology, healthcare, security, military. And so for them to be able to have the exchange together is a great thing. And keep in mind, in the previous administration, they did one of the worst deals in the history of our country, which was the Iran nuclear deal. Well, they basically gave Iran a pathway to a nuclear weapon, $150 billion, several billion in cash. And basically what Iran did when they signed the agreement, instead of saying, thank you, President Obama, they started chanting in the streets, death to America and death to Israel. And then they took all that money we gave them and they sent it to a lot of their proxy terror groups. And that led to more instability in the region. And as a result, ISIS formed, Syria, you know, fell into a civil war. Yemen became destabilized and a hotbed for terrorism. Libya became a mess. Iraq was a mess. And so, you know, we just had a lot of problems caused by this deal. And President Trump's diplomacy is about bringing people together and creating win-win opportunities. We can't want peace for people more than they want peace themselves. And, you know, President Trump's not lecturing countries. He's not imposing things. He's building relationships. He's strengthening the alliances that we've had. A lot of our allies felt very betrayed by that deal. President Trump is a big supporter for Israel's security. He's brought American and Israeli relations to the highest point that they've ever been. And he's also done that with a lot of the Arab leaders in the region. And so his great diplomacy of the last 3.5 years, even though he's done some unconventional things, he's earned trust. He's approached it as a pragmatist, and he's done some blunt action. He's done some tough talk, but he's gotten people to move forward, and he's done things that are in America's interests and the world's interests.
And no new wars.
No new wars. I remember in the last campaign, you had all these great generals who basically were and the foreign policy, quote, experts who got us into all these wars in the first place, saying that if President Trump was elected, we'd be in World War III. Well, he has a peace agreement in the Middle East, the first in 26 years. He has the outlines of a peace agreement in Afghanistan. There's been no U.S. soldiers killed there since February, knock on wood. And we've been able to reduce our troop presence in Afghanistan to 4,000 troops. And hopefully we'll be able to, you know, finish that deal up and bring all of our troops home. We were spending, when we got into office, $50 billion a year in Afghanistan. We should be spending $50 billion rebuilding our inner cities. We should be spending it in Philadelphia. We should be spending it in Pittsburgh. We should be spending it, you know, fixing our roads and bridges. The past, and this is not a knock on Democrats, because there was Republicans too. These people, they lost sight of what was in the best interest of the American worker and the American people. And they really got our country entangled all over the world. So you can't just flip a switch and undo it. But President Trump has made a lot of very smart moves. He's getting our allies to pay more. He's made better trade deals that are bringing our jobs and manufacturing base back to America. And he's realigning the world. And so I'm very confident that, you know, if President Trump gets a second term, he set the table and he's going to finish a lot of these deals, bring even more peace, and make sure that America emerges after this virus stronger than ever before.
Yeah, you know, Jared Kushner, it's frustrating to me that a lot of the people that want the president to be engaged more militarily, the very same people you mentioned, they are really the never Trumpers now. I mean, they're the ones who are trying to stop him now. They tried to stop him in 2016. And I said to them in the Oval Office, I said, you know, the fact is that since you're not starting new wars, you're trying to reach across, you're trying to build coalitions, you're trying to build peace. They don't like that. And that bothers me. And I still think that is at the root of a lot of the animosity they have towards the president.
Look, you could either be a lecturing moralist or you could be an accomplishing pragmatist. And again, you know, we don't agree with every country on everything. You know, President Trump's built good relations, whether it's with China or Russia or Turkey, and he doesn't agree with those leaders on a lot of things. But on areas where it's in America's interest to agree, he's built the relationships and he's been able to put things forward. And then, you know, a lot of the establishment people, they've, you know, criticized the president for the tough talk that he's given allies like Germany and Europe. But quite frankly, they pay 1% of their GDP on military, and it's not enough. So President Trump's got a NATO to spend $130 billion more on their military to defend themselves. We shouldn't be defending Europe. They're now very wealthy. That was a deal that was made after the Second World War. A lot's changed since then. Thanks to America's largesse, we've helped build all these thriving democracies. But now they have to take on the burden. We have to rebalance the arrangement where they pay for themselves. And, you know, people criticize President Trump for saying, yeah, I seriously would get out of these agreements if they don't get rebalanced. Well, you can't tell people to rebalance. And then if they think you're not going to leave, then they're not going to do anything. And that's what previous administrations have done. So President Trump is all action. Again, sometimes he uses tough words. Sometimes he takes an unconventional approach, but he gets it done. And look, for me, this is not a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. I actually was a Democrat before I got involved in the politics. Now I'm obviously a believer in President Trump's agenda. I call myself a Trump Republican. But this is about inside versus outside. You have Republicans and Democrats who both had this adventurous foreign policy that was, you know, leading to more instability around the world, trying to lecture companies, trying to lecture countries on how to run themselves, being interventionists and getting us into all these wars without a plan for how to get us out. President Trump is slowly trying to figure out how to unwind all these allegiances in a safe way. And I say slowly and in a safe way. You know, when we got into office, ISIS had a caliphate the size of Ohio. They were beheading journalists. They were killing Christians. And basically, they were, planning a lot of terror attacks on America from this caliphate that they'd established. President Trump came into office, worked with his military within a year and a half. He took back the entire territorial caliphate. That is what happened, you know, so people don't realize all the bad things that could happen if you don't have a strong leader like President Trump in office.
And I think it's also important to remember that with this Middle East peace plan, it's safety and prosperity for the Jewish people, for the Palestinian people, Muslims, Christians, all across the board. We're talking about religious liberty, religious freedom, and religious preservation, and that's a key part of this plan that, again, is not getting nearly enough attention as it should be getting. This is the kind of thing. It's not just a political plan or an economic plan, but it's also going to protect and allow people the ability to worship their God and to reduce the violence that's so often associated with that.
Completely. That's why the peace agreement we named the Abraham Accords, because Abraham was the father of the three, you know, major faiths. And what we basically did here was we got people to agree that we're all we can't allow these past conflicts to fester. And quite frankly, in the Middle East, a lot of these leaders used their hatred of Israel as a way to divert attention from their shortcomings at home. And so that stoked a lot of anti-Semitism, a lot of bloodshed. But if you think about going back to 1948, what would have happened had instead of you know, Nasser getting all the Arabs to go to war against Israel after the state was declared, if they would have just said, you know what, that's okay, they could have a little bit of land, the Jewish people have been through enough. Then you think about all the instability, all the bloodshed, all the terror, all the horrors that could have been avoided over the last 70 plus years. So I do think that these leaders now are pragmatists. You know, a lot of their populations have smartphones. They see the good lives that others can lead, and they realize that they need to clean out the mosques. And again, when President Trump took his first trip abroad, he went to Saudi Arabia as his first trip, which was unconventional. But there he got together the 54 leaders of the Muslim and Arab world. And he said, guys, these are our priorities in the Middle East. Number one is we have to stop Iran's destabilization of the region, and they can never get a nuclear weapon. Number two, we have to take back this territorial caliphate of ISIS. Number three, which is very important, he said, look, We need to fight and win the long-term battle against people who try to take the Islamic religion and pervert it, the radical extremists. And we launched two things in Saudi Arabia. One was a counter-terror finance center, which over the last 3 years has dramatically reduced the amount of money going to the terror groups. And number two was a counter-extremism center, where we were fighting the online battle against a lot of the groups that were using the internet to radicalize youth all over the world. And so both of those have been very effective, which is why you hear a lot less about these issues that really were very prevalent before. And again, it took a strong leader like President Trump, who's been willing to, you know, not allow these countries to live in the gray. He says you're either with America or you're not with America. If you're not with us, then, you know, there's no one tougher than Trump. And if, you know, you're with him, then there's nobody who's a better ally and friend. So, you know, tough leader, you know, maybe he's not a traditional politician. But again, this historic peace deal is something that's eluded people for a long time. And President Trump delivered because he is a disruptive and an effective president.
Yeah, well said. You know, I could talk to you all day about this stuff, and I promised you I wanted to give you a platform for my massive audience about Middle East peace, but I hope you'll come back and talk to us again about Operation Warp Speed, which is doing great, about the election. You know, Jared, I said this back in 2015 and 2016. I'm thankful that you're by the president's side. I'm thankful you're by his side today, and I appreciate the great work you do. I think you're an incredibly bright guy, and I just genuinely know how much the president values your counsel, and I thank God you're there. So thank you for all the work you do, because I know it's a tremendous sacrifice to you and your family. I know you and Ivanka both work very, very hard, and your beautiful children, but it's a tremendous sacrifice you make for our country, and I appreciate that, and I want you to know that.
No, well, thank you for saying that, but I will say it's really just a tremendous honor. You know, when President Trump was running, he was running because he saw a lot of things happening in the country that he thought were not within the best interests of the country long term. And, you know, during the campaign, he said, if I'm elected, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And quite frankly, unlike most politicians, he came to Washington and he's kept all of his promises. In fact, he jokes, I think he's kept more promises than he even made to the American people. And, you know, we just unveiled a whole new set of promises to the American people. And just like he kept his promises last time, he's going to get these done, too. So, you know, we're in a very interesting time. You mentioned warp speed. We are in phase three trials of three different vaccine candidates. We're mass producing six. To give you an idea of what an entrepreneurial president does, the fastest candidate ever to a phase three trial for a vaccine was 13 months. We did our first one in 4 months, and we did the second one in 4 months and a week. And so, wow. You know, we're really rocking on that. And I think coming out of the virus, you know, obviously we're going to have the vaccine that will help us get back to normal. We are going to emerge as a country much stronger than anyone else in the world because of the way that we've managed our way through this virus. Our economy's, you know, picking up in a V-shaped recovery. We've set the groundwork with a lot of these countries. We've started bringing our jobs back from overseas. We're starting to manufacture medical supplies and equipment here in America. And I think that you're going to see under President Trump's leadership, this country is going to rise to heights we never even imagined were possible.
And I know we're going to hear a lot about that Thursday night when the president formally accepts the nomination as a Republican nominee for president again.
He definitely will. He's got an exciting speech. And from my personal point of view, he'll be introduced by a very great woman, which is my wife. So I'll be watching very closely. And again, it's an honor to serve this country. And I couldn't be prouder of the job the president's doing.
Jared Kushner, senior advisor of the president. Appreciate all your great work, my friend. Give my best to Ivanka and your children and, of course, to the president. OK,
thank you, Rich. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you, Jared.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You see that? That's a guy who honors his word. I told Jared we talked Middle East peace. We talked Middle East peace. That's the kind of guy I am. See that?
Awesome interview.
I could ask him about things like, do you like licking your fingers after Kentucky Fried
Kentucky
Chicken? I didn't
Fried
do that.
But that was interesting. You know, we talked about the vaccine, talked about the economy. So you got a lot in there.
See that? Look at that. It's how we roll on this program,
it's
right?
It's the only show exclusive.
That's right. He doesn't do a lot of media interviews, but he should do more of them. He's very good at them.
Yeah.
So that was good. What else was I going to mention? Oh, yes. I was going to mention our sponsor of this hour of Nonstop Talk, USA Insulation. These are very hot days, and USA Insulation wants you to know that they will insulate your walls and your attic, by the way, for free with a whole home insulation. So reach out to them today. USA Insulation will come to your home and inject their premium foam insulation directly into your walls from the outside. Now, that's going to create a beautiful foam barrier around your home. It's going to keep that cold air that you're paying a lot for on days like today, inside the home where it belongs. On the outside, it's going to be all that hot, muggy air and it doesn't get in your house. That's what insulation does. It creates that barrier. Think of it like a cooler on the beach, right? You've got all the ice in there. You've got your drinks in there. And at the end of the day, it's still nice and cold. Same concept. And with the attic, with the insulation there, it's like putting a giant thick lid on that cooler. Keep it all nice and cold inside. And it works in the winter too. So reach out to them today at usainsulation.net, usainsulation.net, 267-551-1900, 267-551-1900, or go to usainsulation.net and check them out. Remember, they will insulate your attic for free with a whole home insulation, usainsulation.net.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, 855-839-1210. If you have any thoughts on anything today, let's say good morning to Dawn. We've got Governor Chris Christie coming up, by the way, at 8:35. I should mention that as well. So the show does not get any bigger. And Greg, we have some other great guests coming up for the rest of the week as well, I'm told. Is that correct?
Yes, we do.
All right, way to sell it there. You really... I mean, that was...
Well, I mean, I'll know as we get closer, but yes, we do.
You know, it's like, I mean, you really, boom.
It's going to be huge, Rich.
Huge. So big, I can't even mention the names. That's how big they are.
It's too big to fit in 3.5 hours.
All right, Dawn, good morning. How are we looking on this Tuesday morning?
Well, we're looking good right now. We have 77 degrees. Zeoli Show News sponsored by Mercedes. We do have storms incoming this afternoon, so I'll talk about that in a moment. We do have decision day for so-called the protest encampments on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. Homeless people and advocates who represent them arguing the eviction violates their constitutional rights, especially First Amendment rights, to protest. And that's why they're calling the land, what's really a land takeover, a protest. So city lawyers argued before the judge closing arguments yesterday in court that the encampment is a public health hazard. And lawyers say the tent dwellers are holding up construction of a supermarket in an area that's actually a food desert. People in that neighborhood at Long Ridge, I believe, that one, they need a grocery store there. So the judge says he will rule. There'll be a final ruling today at 3 o'clock. So we'll be watching that very carefully. I want to mention it was a rough day for a lot of college students because it was the first day of school. And this includes Temple University students. And there was the Zoom outage. And we actually experienced this at my house. I don't know if you guys had this happen to you, but there was this Zoom outage. Now Zoom has announced all systems are operational. They had some sort of a technical problem, but they've worked that out. So they apologized and said they are good to go. We've talked a lot about this latest domino to fall against student athletes across our region when we talk about back to school news. So the PCL, the Catholic League, huge league, huge consequences for student athletes across our region. Tens of thousands of students, Archdiocese of Philadelphia says 17 archdiocesan high schools will not be allowed to play fall sports. And I was kind of surprised they didn't say, hey, we're going to suspend it till spring. They just have no decision yet on spring. So that's wait and see. But we do have champion schools like St. Joe's Prep, LaSalle College High School, Devon Prep, many others. They say that they're independent, so they're still deciding. It's all about liability. It's all about how can they get into an independent league. And I have at least three sources telling me the problem here was Governor Wolf's, quote, strong recommendation to cancel all fall sports. They blame that on raising the concerns among the school districts because ultimately it's on them with this increased liability. So exposure to that once they're doing something against the so-called advice of Pennsylvania's Department of Health and Education. So the liability issue was really a huge one. We have Facebook blocking members that engage in open discussion about Thai monarchy. So this is Facebook once again. They blocked the site where people are talking about a monarchy and government and that sort of thing. And the CDC.
What monarchy? Whose monarchy?
Thailand.
Oh, Thailand. Oh, I thought you meant New Jersey's monarchy. Thailand, okay.
No, they're not. Yeah, I don't know if they blocked anybody complaining about Jersey governance, but...
they haven't gotten to it yet. It's on their list.
I did see a story about the pangolins in the New Yorker. They had a big article about this all comes down to people who eat pangolins. This whole COVID, you know, this whole COVID situation.
So wait, it's the pangolins, not the bats? Is that what they're saying?
They're saying the don't eat pangolins. That's the bottom. You don't even have to read the article.
You got to cook it all the way through. I always say this. Don't serve rare pangolin.
What about medium rare?
No, because medium rare, the pangolin needs to be fully cooked through. I keep saying that. It's always the problem.
And a lot of people...
Sear the pangolin and flip it.
And flip
check it. Got to cook it to 160 or they're going to give the world a pandemic again. Just saying.
No more pangolin. CDC, a lot of people...
Pangolin, peanuts, popcorn, pangolin. Get your pangolin here.
Laugh. It's like pangolin. An endangered... And the CDC,
Greg, you remember you used to have pangolin night in college? It was like quarter pangolin night?
All the time.
All the time.
Loved it.
Loved
was
it.
Was that your
delicious
cover band?
No, you get a pitcher of beer and pangolin for like $5. It was like a little special. They used to have that at the VU in College Park.
Pangolin until you pee.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, eating pangolin would be like the best thing at the VU, like the highest class level thing from that bar
good
at the University of Maryland. So. Mm-hmm. Bat here, get your bat, fried bat, fried pangolin.
I did want to mention The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. So he has announced he will be Black Adam. And it's a new DC Universe. You know, that's trending on hashtag DC Universe. So he announced that he will
be. Wait, who?
It's the DC villain.
Yeah, who, the penguin you said or the pangolin?
No, it's Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
Oh.
You know, like The Rock.
Yeah, who's he going to play?
Black Adam.
Black Adam. Oh, okay.
Who's the classic DC villain. So the thing that caught my eye was he's going to be wearing black spandex.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, fabulous.
You like that, huh?
Hercules. So I don't know. I just had to get that in there. Pangolin and...
You know, he got real fat, right? He got the COVID-19.
No, he did not.
The 19 pounds he gained during quarantine.
Very good.
The Rock got fat. He's now like a boulder, not really a rock. So
the boulder. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right, Mercedes-Benz, the summer event is here on your phone, online. Not for long. Go to mbusa.com/summer-event and learn more about limited-time offers. Or you can contact your local authorized dealership to schedule a private showroom appointment. But don't wait long. These offers won't last. Real quick, the forecast here, 92 steamy until this afternoon when severe storms are expected to move through pretty quickly. So we could see hail. We could see damaging high winds and a lot of rain move through, but it'll cool things off. So tomorrow will be nice. It'll be less humid, 84 degrees tomorrow. And then for your Thursday, it's going to pop back up to back in the 90s. But tomorrow, enjoy it. And this Zioli Show weather is actually brought by Hint Water. Hint, pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar, sweeteners, or calories, and available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a touch of true fruit flavor. This is Zioli Show News Live. We're always on the radio.com app. That's it.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is the number. We'll check in with Governor Chris Christie in a few moments as well, get his thoughts on the convention so far, and also on the tyrant king of New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy, the unaccountable. King Phil Murphy, the unaccountable. And we'll have that conversation with him as well in just a matter of moments. Checking in on social media, Old Man Dudley says, however you eat your pangolin, just make sure you don't lick your fingers. Very good point. That's part of the problem right there. Pangolin is finger licking good. Rob says, for someone who always labels himself a libertarian, why don't you speak about libertarian candidates? Well, because, Rob, there's a philosophy of libertarianism, and then there's a political party. I do not identify with the political party. I have some libertarian philosophies that's very, very different. I believe America's a two-party system, and you just got to pick a team, pick a side. And somebody else made the point of saying, Roe Pin, thank you for having Jared Kushner on. Very impressive what President Trump and Mr. Kushner have accomplished to bring peace in the Middle East and safely here at home. Bravo. So there you go. That check-in on social media brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They really do matter. Go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They open at 9 a.m., and they would love to see you today, and they'd love for you to come in and take one of their beautiful Volvos for a test drive. That would be great as well. From the convention last night, I thought one of the great moments last night was, there were a number of them last night. I always appreciate when you hear people talk very, very passionately about things, And I thought Jim Jordan made a great point. I always like when Jim Jordan speaks. He talked about what Democrats will let you do, what they won't let you do. I thought that was pretty appropriate for how things are. Here's Congressman Jim Jordan from last night. Clip letter H.
Democrats won't let you go to church, but they'll let you protest. Democrats won't let you go to work, but they'll let you riot. And Democrats won't let you go to school, but they'll let you go loot.
Nikki Haley talked about Trump being tough on China and ISIS. Also a very, very key point that ties into keeping America safe at home without us having to go into any new wars. Cut letter K.
He's tough on China, and he took on ISIS and won. And he tells the world what it needs to hear. Joe Biden is good for Iran and ISIS, great for communist China, and he's a godsend to everyone who wants America to apologize, abstain, and abandon our values.
The issue of all these international issues coming to the forefront, too, I think you're going to have more talk about that as the country goes on, really about the battle with ISIS and then where things stand on the national stage. But China is truly our enemy now. We're dealing with China being our major enemy, and tying Joe Biden to China is also going to be something you're going to hear more of as the week progresses at the Republican National Convention. And of course, all week we'll have great people analyzing it for you, and great audio clips, of course, as well. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in on all these things. I want to mention before I get to Governor Chris Christie that whenever you're dealing with a convention that is virtual, you're going to have some odd moments. Sometimes they're fun, sometimes they're not. And I think that everybody's just trying to adjust now for this new virtual convention that we're in. But I like the fact that they're talking about having some actual people there to watch this and maybe cheer along. That'll make the convention seem a whole lot more natural in the days to come. We'll have Governor Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, join us to give his take on the convention and also on how things stand with the King of New Jersey. Don't go away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.